Chris Howes is with us by telephone from Ohio. Good evening, Chris.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and especially for the sneak peek at this recording, Southern Exposure, which I believe you're telling me is just being released in Japan, and it'll be out in Europe sometime soon. But are we the first ones in the States to hear it?
You are, actually. The very first, believe it or not. It hasn't been released in the States. It'll be released on January 8th, which is just before I'm going to be coming to South Beach. On the weekend of January 18th, I guess it will be, I'm going to be collaborating with a great singer in the area named Beverly Fifield, and we're going to be doing something for this Art Deco weekend. So we wanted to kind of get the jump and talk about the album tonight and talk about, you know, that I'm going to be coming in January and sort of get the buzz out there. So I really appreciate it.
Art Deco weekend is a big, fat, hairy deal for us here in South Florida. So, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to having you. Tell us a little bit about Southern Exposure. I think it might be, is this something of a departure from your usual work, or am I making that up?
Well, I guess, I mean, it's something I've always wanted to do, to sort of venture into the Latin music, if you will, for lack of a better way of describing it. And I have spent a lot of time in Spain over the last 12 years. I have a lot of friends in Spain. I've learned some very poor sort of, you know, my version of Spanish. But I've done a lot of touring in Spain. So we've done a little bit of flamenco on this record. We've done some tango, Argentinian music. We've done some Cuban music, some Brazilian music, and even some music from the south of France. So the idea was to play music sort of from the southern hemisphere, or, you know, so it's not just like a Afro-Cuban album or just a Brazilian album, but it's sort of a mixture of these different Latin-infused styles, and it's featuring a wonderful artist named Richard Galeano, who's an accordionist of the highest stature. He does classical and jazz, and obviously he's sort of considered the heir to Astor Piazzolla, if you will, and he had the best-selling classical record either in Europe or in the world in 2010. So Richard Galeano is the featured guest on this record, and I have a great New York City rhythm section, including Lewis Nash on drums, Scott Colley on bass, and Josh Nelson on piano from the Los Angeles area. It's my third album on Resonance Records. Resonance Records is based on a very interesting business model, because it's a not-for-profit foundation at the core of a record label. And the owner, George Klabin, is very, he really loves this. And, you know, he's put all of his resources into this. He gets very involved. So me and him work closely on it. And I'm thrilled to be working with Resonance. I'm thrilled to be on this record working with Richard Galeano. We've got a lot of exciting things in store following the release. We're going to be playing at Dizzy's in New York City, and I'm going to be touring around the U.S. And in fact, the reason we are releasing it just yesterday in Japan is because I'll be in Japan next week, and then I'm going to be in China, Hong Kong, Australia, and Singapore coming up just next month. So we decided to release in Japan and Asia first, and then I'm going to be doing a bunch of stuff in the U.S., including coming to South Beach around the weekend of January 17th and 18th for the Art Deco weekend, where, again, I'm going to have the honor of working with a wonderful local singer. Her name is Beverly Fifield. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name
Beverly
correctly.
Beverly Lewis Fifield, yes, indeed.
Is it Fifield? Is that how you say it? So it's like F-I Field, like mm-hmm. a field of grass or whatever.
And her husband, John Fifield, who's a fabulous guitarist, yes.
Yeah, and her husband's a great guitarist and a good friend of mine, and he's really involved in this. And so I'm looking forward to coming down and collaborating with all the folks putting this festival together around the weekend of January 17th.
And speaking of collaboration, if you don't happen to be Christian Howes, with whom I'm speaking by telephone right now, and you'd like to be involved in some way in supporting the music of Art Deco Weekend coming up again starting on January 18th, 2013, you can get in touch with John. That's john@artdecoweekend.com, john@artdecoweekend.com, because, of course, the more the merrier. So, Chris, you'll be here. You and John, I think, are going to be sharing music director duties for at least part of the festival. Can you tell us a little bit? I know it's still a ways out, but can you give us an idea what we might expect?
There's going to be a lot of great music. I know that. I mean, I could get into all the details, but I know there's a lot of heavy hitters from different genres, and including the sort of, if you will, homage to the Art Deco period. And because I know there's a lot of businesses in that area that sort of are into this kind of Art Deco thing. And so we're obviously trying to raise awareness for that district. And in all those businesses down there. And but then there's also going to be some great players that do more of a funky stuff and fusion and modern jazz, and including myself, I guess. So it's going to be a lot of music. I think probably something for everybody.
Because it is, after all, a party. So in addition to, you've got this new recording coming out and you're touring all over the place, you'll be down here in January, but you're a busy man. I guess every successful artist is a busy person, but you seem to be busy in perhaps different ways. You've got a lot of online stuff going on. Can you tell us about the Creative Strings Academy?
Well, thank you. I mean, for any musicians out there or maybe parents that have kids that are studying, especially strings like violin, cello, viola, bass, you know, growing up studying classical music, I never had an opportunity to play rock and roll and do, or you know, blues or jazz, or there's all these other, you know, bluegrass, all these different kinds of music out in the world that classical musicians don't learn, and a lot of skills that go along with those types of music, like, you know, the ability to improvise and write your own music and sort of jam with other people, and in order to do that, to jam with other people and improvise and compose, you also have to have a way of looking at music that's different than the way classical musicians. So I'm sort of on a mission to reform classical music education, because I think that string players and classically trained musicians should also learn about other kinds of music, and they should have the joy and the rewards that come from the creative aspects of music making. So I created my own online school. It's called the Creative Strings Academy. It's really for any kind of musicians who want to learn about improvisation and composition and just get help. And because I put all this content up online, it's very, very, very affordable. We've got a month-long free trial, and then it's $30 a month after that. So if you go to my website, christianhowes.com, and you just click on my page called Education, or just Google Creative Strings Academy, then you can go on and you can learn about it. And any parents out there or any string players that have an interest in getting outside of the box of their classical music training, you know, you should just go in and just kind of mess around in the sandbox in there. There, like I said, there's a big, you know, a lot of free stuff and a big free trial period and all that stuff. So I'm really involved with that. I do a lot of educational work in schools all over the world. Now, in addition to that, online...
Hold it, Chris. Before we go any further, talk to me a little bit about teaching online.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of ways to do it, and I think that the universities are all going to have to catch up pretty soon. I mean, you know, distance learning is here. It's here to stay. And, you know, there's a lot of great instructional content out there on YouTube, but, you know, I have 150 instructional videos on my site, and I've got a bunch of videos at my YouTube channel for free, about 100, and that's Christian Howes Tube, if you're looking for that stuff. But, you know, a teacher can share all kinds of, you know, core curriculum, core ideas, you know, really concrete, distinct, important kernels of information. And rather than the old way where, you know, you had to travel and meet with a private teacher and you know, it's just a much more efficient way to get information out there. There's so much information that you can now easily distribute and share. So not only do I have these instructional videos, but I have other kinds of multimedia content.
Yeah, the future is a wonderful place, you know, and you can teach social studies online, it seems to me, easily enough, but you're teaching improvisation, right?
That's right, that's right. Yeah, well, because I provide people with, well, that's the problem with improvisation, is that it's, a lot of people look at it as if it's this, like, kind of Zen mystery thing, and there's a lot of quackery out there, like in any field, you know, you've got to sift through a lot of, you know, kind of, I don't know how the nice way to say it, but... You know, there's a lot of snake oil salesmen.
Yeah, just don't use any profanity, okay?
No, I won't. I was saying, you know, a lot of people sell quick fixes and they kind of, you know, a lot of vagaries and stuff. But, I mean, I've been working on this for a long time. And because I was in a unique position as a classically trained violinist who was really frustrated and wanted to bridge the gap and become a part of the jazz community and the rock and roll community, and you know. And so I had to really think hard about it and come up with, you know, my own sort of way of teaching. And I taught at the Berklee College of Music for a few years, and so I had a long time to think about how to introduce this information, especially to classically trained musicians. So a lot of it's shared through the videos, but it's also shared in my blogs, in written form, in ebooks, and I provide things like backing tracks to work with. And then, of course, I do streaming webinars or master classes online for the public as well very often. learn all about that stuff and sign up on my email list at christianhowes.com, H-O-W-E-S, christianhowes.com, or, you know, the YouTube channel, Christian Howes Tube, and, you know, but there's a lot of, and more people need to be doing this. You know, sharing information online is a great way to get people interested in what you're doing, and now in the music industry, you know, education is one of the important ways that you can monetize your skills, you know, because it's harder and harder to sell the music. So, and for me as a jazz violinist, I also realized that a potential audience for me was going to be the educational market, because who wants to listen to a jazz violinist? Let's be honest.
Well,
you
we
know,
do.
Regular people, you know.
We do. My guest this evening is Christian Howes. His new recording is called Southern Exposure. He's speaking to us from Ohio, which is one of his homes. He will be in South Florida this winter, in January, as a matter of fact, as part of the Art Deco Weekend. And we're talking about his activities in addition to recording. Chris, you've got this other thing going on with your production company. Speaking of the future and online activities and monetizing, can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, because I've had this sort of unique position as a classically trained violinist who then could improvise and do jazz and other styles, I would always, you know, work with producers and kind of help them. In fact, John Fifield, who's Beverly Fifield's husband, we were just talking about her. She's going to be the singer on the Art Deco Weekend in January. John had hired me to play on his record a few years back.
That's right.
And we did it all through file sharing. You know, he sent me a mix and he said, "Hey, will you play a solo on this track?" And I did the solo in my bedroom and I sent him back the file. And then I was always going and working with producers. I would layer myself many times to create the effect of a string section, of a, you know, sort of in the way that you can imagine a vocalist might create, like, backing vocals by layering themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it overdubbing. So then I was always doing this, but then once I realized we could do that you could share big files really easily, I decided that I should create a team of string players who all could record from their own home studios, and that I should actively market it to producers and composers around the world who wanted to have affordable live strings, because, you know, we can send a 30-piece string section, you know, cellos, violas, violins, basses, for a ridiculously affordable price to somebody, because we might have, you know, six people play on the track, but they all overdub very sensitively, very, you know, and we have all kinds of sophisticated techniques to make sure that it sounds, you know, very human and very real. And so we have this really, really active growing business where we're servicing all kinds of, you know, independent songwriters and composers, film composers, commercial composers, you know, big music houses all over the world. And so that's another of my activities. So basically I have these three main activities. One is, you know, touring around the world. The other is this sort of educational stuff, which involves my online school and, you know, a lot of online content, and then my production services.
And I'm not going to ask the question that I so often do, which is, and when do you sleep? But
Well, I do have two kids, but, you know, that's part of what motivates me. They say necessity is the mother of invention.
So. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. So listen, seriously, not so much when do you sleep, but how do you get all this to fit together?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, honestly, I mean, a couple years ago, I checked out this book by Tim Ferriss. It's called The 4-Hour Work Week. Mm-hmm. 4-Hour Work Week. I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of a lot of, you know, modern productivity methods. You know, I use signatures a lot. you know the program in, like, your email account that's like signatures.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 30 signatures, and each of them are like 2 pages long. You know, but I'm really kind of addicted to trying to find ways to either outsource and delegate, or to just be more productive and efficient with what I do. And part of what Tim Ferriss's thing was about was sort of, you know, people that work for themselves, and because my dad was like a life insurance salesman, he was always preaching to me about the value of working for yourself. Nowadays, if you work for yourself, you really can almost create an organization around you by outsourcing and delegating and getting people to work with you. So I actually have this really big, it's like kind of organization. I have all the staff and a lot of people that work with me, and that's part of how I do it. And sometimes I just feel like running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But it's interesting. It's fun. I feel like I'm always creatively challenged, and I like that. And like I said, you know, there's nothing like, you know, having to feed two kids. It'll make you work hard. So
yeah. So what's all this activity doing for your music?
Well, you know, I think a lot of artists think that that working as a creative artist and being a business person are at odds. But for me, I feel like they push each other. Honestly, I feel like creating business, you know, working, it keeps me on my toes. And as a jazz musician, it's always about being in the moment and being able to deliver in that moment. So sometimes, you know, I feel like I do sometimes suffer in terms of being able to practice as much as I want every day or being able to write as much as I want every day. But ultimately, the trade-off is that I feel like I kind of bring my A game every day and I'm ready for whatever comes at me. And as a jazz musician, I feel like that's a good thing. And, you know, as I evolve through all this change happening so fast, I feel like it makes me more wise and strong and real as an artist somehow, you know, hopefully.
And the kids aren't starving, so what else could we ask for?
Exactly.
I will say this. I have had an opportunity to listen to Southern Exposure, and I like it quite a lot. I was going to ask you what you like best about it, but I suppose that would be like picking one of your favorite children, huh?
Exactly. Well, you played one of my favorites, I think, in the beginning, the Cubano chant, and I like that because it's kind of, you know, hard-hitting, energetic, and I think that at the end of our interview, I think we were talking about you playing the piece that I wrote for my my first teacher from age five. Her name's Jenny Christofferson, and she also became my daughter's teacher. My daughter's Camille is now 15, but she started studying with Jenny when she was 3 and a half.
Wow!
And Jenny taught her up until she was 12, all the way through the Suzuki books. And when you go to your Suzuki lesson, at the beginning of the lesson, you say, "Please teach me," and you bow. And at the end of the lesson, you say, "Thank you for teaching me." And so Jenny had this, you know, like a 30 or 40 year—it must have been. Must have been 35 years that she had been teaching, and we had this sort of the commemorative thing for her. And so I wrote a piece for her, and I called it "Thank You for Teaching Us," and it was sort of, you know, just acknowledging what, you know, how much it's meant to the, you know, hundreds of students that she's taught, how much she's like a part of our family, really, and mm-hmm. She really is kind of a part of our family. And the Suzuki method, you know, and I'm a big music educator now, and I'm definitely a proponent of the Suzuki method, even though I do other things outside of that realm. But it really stresses the triangle between the teacher, the parent, and the child, and this idea that, you know, you nurture children with love and with music, and that, you know, you start kids young playing music, and you just nurture it, and the parents really have to be involved. So many people don't know about this. You know, they think that that you're supposed to start kids when they're 8 years old in the public school, and it's really too late. It, you know, in a way, because music is a language, and children learn language between the age of 2 and 6. That's when our brains are optimized. That's when they're most sponge-like and able to absorb and emulate. And so, it's so essential. If any parents are out there with little kids, you got to hear what I'm saying right now, which is if you want your kid to learn music, you need to start them between the age of 3 and 6. Don't wait until they're 7. I'm serious. You got to give them a chance.
Okay, that explains why I'm a disc jockey now and not a musician. Because I didn't start until I was 9. Okay, all right. So that explains also the tune that explains the name. There's the backstory for the tune we're about to hear. Gracias por ilustrarnos. Is that correct? Have I come close to saying it?
Yeah. And it means thank you for teaching us. And this is a string orchestra with about 35 string instruments that were all produced through my service that I described earlier, where my team is strung about all of literally around the world. We had a bassist in Madrid on this track. We had cellist in Boston, violinists in New York and L.A. and Wisconsin and Ohio, and all of us came together to create this string ensemble, and then we had the rhythm section live in the studio improvise over it.
The future, an amazing place. My guest this evening has been Christian Howes. His new recording is called Southern Exposure. He is supported on the disc by Richard Galliano, playing the accordion, also heard on this recording. Let's see, we've got Scott Colley, Lewis Nash, and Josh Nelson. Christian Howes, of course, will be in South Florida. He's going to be performing on January 18th, 2013, which is actually only about 10 minutes from now, as part of the festivities involved with Art Deco Weekend. And if you'd like to be supportive of the musical portion of Art Deco Weekend, get in touch with John Fifield, our friend John, simply john@artdecoweekend.com. Chris Howes, I appreciate very much you taking the time to talk with us. Is there anything else you want to tell my friends before I ask you to say maybe one or two more words about this tune, and then we'll say goodnight?
Oh, thank you so much. I want to say thanks to John Fifield and Beverly Fifield, and let people know in your area that know that they really need to check her out. She's a wonderful singer, and I know she's got to be doing something. So look her up, Beverly Fifield. If you can't find her before then, you know, come out and see her in January. I'll just tell everybody one more time, if they're interested in some of the stuff I'm doing, that you can find me at christianhowes.com, and the spelling is Christian, like a church-going Christian, Howes, H-O-W-E-S. And I'd love to hear from people you know, if I can help with anything, certainly.
And here we go. I will give you one last chance, I guess, to introduce this track. You've done a pretty good job with it, but I'll give you the last word, Chris Howes.
Well, this is Thank You for Teaching Us, and I wrote this for my Suzuki violin teacher who started teaching me when I was 5 years old, about 35 years ago. So I want to say thank you, Jenny, very much for all of your support.
Thank you, Chris Howes.